real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Van the Man Morrison, he's in trouble. Why? Well, Belfast City Council may revoke Van Morrison's freedom of the city, we're told, following the musician's decision to release three new anti-lockdown songs. This is bizarre, although nothing is really bizarre in this world anymore, is it? Every day is bizarre, something new comes to the table, and this is one of those moments. The singer sparked controversy and criticism this week after taking aim at the UK government in a series of tracks protesting coronavirus restrictions. On one song, Van Morrison is claiming that scientists are making up crooked facts, while another sees him brand the authorities fascist bullies. The songs have been condemned, of course, by Northern Ireland's Health Minister, Robin Swan. Speaking to BBC, he said, "I don't know where he gets his facts. He says, I know where the emotions are on this, but I will say that that sort of messaging is dangerous. Our messaging is about saving lives." He says, "If Van wanted to sing a song about saving lives, then that would be more in keeping with where we are at the minute," he says. Belfast City Councillor Emmett McDonough Brown has called on the local authority to revoke the honour handed to Van Morrison back in 2013 in recognition of his achievements. He said Van Morrison was given the freedom of Belfast, the highest honour the city has to bestow, can bestow. His most recent lyrics undermine the guidance in place to protect lives and are ignorant of established science as we grapple with COVID-19. He goes on to say, "So I've asked Belfast City Council to consider revoking it. I think we should withdraw the endorsement." And finally, he says, he remains free to say whatever he wants. Okay, so he's free to say whatever he wants, but not, I suppose, with the Freedom of the City badge on his jacket. The 75-year-old musician has been an outspoken opponent of the coronavirus restrictions for some time now. In an open letter to fans, he previously hit out at the pseudoscience, he says, of socially distanced gigs. One of the songs due to be released is called No More Lockdown, by the way. The lyrics reportedly are this. And I had a look at Van Morrison's website earlier on. And actually, as I was, and I wonder, a lot of people listening to Van Morrison records now, isn't that what happens during sort of controversy like this involving musical acts? Because they ended up listening to some of my favourite Van Morrison songs in the office earlier on. I don't necessarily agree with what he's doing right now, but some of his songs are just amazing. Into the Mystic is one of my favourite songs of all time. Astral Weeks, one of my favourite albums. Anyway, this song is No More Lockdown. This is some of the lyrics to the song. No more lockdown, no more government overreach. The musician sings then in the chorus, no more fascist bullies disturbing our peace, no more taking of our freedom and our God-given rights, pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave. So, I want to get your opinion on this today. Do you think Belfast City Council would be right to revoke the freedom of the city? Or do you think that is plain censorship and just nonsense at this stage? Some people are calling it a form of cancel culture, while others think it's dangerous to release anti-lockdown songs. What do you think? So the question today is, should Van Morrison have his freedom of the city revoked? Do you remember the last time there was a freedom of the city revoked from somebody? Bob Geldof. That wasn't so long ago when Dublin City Council decided on that, and there was all sorts of controversy. But that was nothing to do with COVID, nothing to do with restrictions or lockdowns or anything like that. This time it is, and Van Morrison is in the eye of the storm. So should Van Morrison have his freedom of the city revoked? The number to get in touch, 1850 410 494 or WhatsApp 087 188 0008. Mary, you're live in Classic Hits. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
How are you doing? Go ahead. What's your point on this, Mary?
I'm a bit amazed, actually. I thought he was more intelligent than this.
Okay, yeah.
I really thought he had more substance to him than this. He really is listening to one side of a story. But in actual fact, if he wanted to write a song, it's not about the scientists being right or wrong. It's the fact that they're not listening to the scientists when they're putting these things out.
Mm.
What they're actually doing is, nobody would have a problem with the scientific approach if it was either actually, one, implemented, and the people were actually physically protected, i.e. the nurses and everything. The problem he should be looking at is the fact, the resource problem. The government has not acted correctly and timely. And that's why, you know, there's such devastation, and we're at this point. If they had locked everything down in every country for the first month, we would have killed the damn thing.
That's questionable in itself, though, Mary. I know there are some scientists calling for the zero COVID policy, but can you actually kill a virus and still function financially? That is the ultimate question, isn't it?
No, I agree. No, I understand where you're coming from, but it would have been controlled into such a degree that we would be a viable working population eventually. But the problem with it now is that they're telling so many lies, and that's all governments are telling so many lies.
Who's telling lies? The government?
Well, yeah. It only came out this morning on one of the programs in the morning that the old people's homes again are being hit in the UK, and the figures, 43% of the figures, are in old people's homes and not the restaurants. The restaurants are about 6% or something. So the people that they're targeting are incorrect.
Yeah, well, I don't know those exact figures, but
yeah,
I know that obviously
came out this morning.
Right, okay, but in the UK, you mean? Well,
yeah,
I know. Yeah, I know. I can't think of the figure, and I don't want to give you a wrong figure. But it was stark in America in relation to the fatalities that nursing homes, the nursing home population makes up, you know, a point whatever percent of the population of America.
Yeah.
This is just to surmise it, basically. But the incidence rate, the fatality rate in America of COVID-19 over or just under 50% were from 0.6, something like that. Point what is it, Helena? 40% were made up of 0.6%, something like that, of the population.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt about it that nursing homes have been hit and could possibly be hit again in the future, yeah.
But they're having to implement lockdowns through their failures. Their failures to have resources, their failures to act quickly enough. That's what the lockdowns are actually about. And that's what he needs to put into context. Their lies are going to kill people.
Right. Well, so back to Van then. Do you reckon he's just on this conspiracy trip that lots of other people are?
He's following a trail that is leading him nowhere.
Yeah.
The scientists are right in a lot of things, if only they were actually listened to. That thing that they did yesterday with the two guys from the health, the senior guys from the health, they had a closed room. They gave out the statistics. They told you everything that was going to happen, everything that was happening, and nobody to ask them any questions. The government couldn't afford people to ask them questions because they would have asked, why has the government done this? Why has the government done that? And they would have been put on the spot, and they weren't allowed to do that.
Yeah. I think ultimately that's what every nation is grappling with now. It's the public health officials who, you know, for the most part, I mean, I would imagine their goal would be a zero disease country because that is ultimately what they want to work towards. That's why they became who they are, to try and solve problems
it's
with regards
political.
To...
It's not scientific, it's political.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is then obviously they're grappling with politicians and one wants one thing, the other says, well, we can't really do that or whatever. And ultimately we have to come to some form of balance, and that's the issue we're all having. I want to get back though for a second to Van Morrison, and I want to ask you this question, and Donal, hang on there, I'm coming to you in a second. If we're to believe that Van Morrison is going down the extreme sort of conspiracy route, right, that the government are, you know, playing this game to keep us all under wraps and control us, and they have this long-term plan and all, whatever, right? I would imagine that most logical people don't think that's the case, right? Now, come up on air and argue with me if you want, but I like to think that is not the case. So people who believe that, we had this conversation in the office earlier on about conspiracy theorists, and I read this very interesting article about why conspiracy theorists are who they are. And it's more of a fear issue with them, in that they're scared because, you know, they don't want to come to the realization that nobody is in control of these things. I find it interesting sometimes when people come up in the air and they have this very simplistic approach to how things can be solved because there's a belief system that someone is actually peddling this whole disease or someone's peddling it, you know, and there's a simple answer. If we just stop the government from lying, it's over. But in fact, that's just not the case. You know what I mean? No one's in control.
Well, I've got a 31-year-old daughter that's teaching 30 children in a classroom under the age of 7. She has no PPE unless she bought it for herself. They're lying about what they did for the schools before they opened. It's not the scientists. It's the government. Now, if he wants to go down a conspiracy road, he wants to look at the resources that the governments are using, not the scientists.
Yeah, okay, well, hang on there a second, Mary. Donal, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Donal?
How are you doing? Are you well?
Not too bad at all. All right, so are we into... Oh, your line is awful. Can you hear me okay, Donald?
I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, Grant. Are we into a cancel culture territory again with this one?
We are. Look, Van Morrison, like every other citizen, should be allowed to say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to it, listen. If you don't, don't. And the reason why Van Morrison and other people are doing this is because the media are not doing their job. Like, the media will just spin their side, their liberal side, all the time. Now, look, I totally agree we have this COVID. I'm not one of these people that's a COVID denier. It's there, and people need to be careful.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Donald? The problem is, and this is with all debates, no matter if it's COVID or whatever we've had in the past, it's so polarised in that you have the extreme, I don't believe there's even a disease happening, to the, well, you should never listen to anything else than other than what the state tells you to do. But if you're in any way in the middle, you have to be categorised as one or the other, and it's a very difficult conversation, I find.
That's where you have it, you see. That's my point about the media. The media are either left or right. There's no in the middle.
But sure, we're the media. I like to think I'm kind of in the middle here.
Your station and some small stations, yes.
Yeah.
Because you want to, and your colleague Niall want to question other health officials as well. Not all. I don't believe all the health officials are right. I don't believe everything they say should be taken as gospel. Let's face it, the HSE has a shady record in other things, without a doubt. Like,
well, in relation to resources, that's another thing to discuss as well.
But my point I want to make is, like, if this country now is gone like the States, you have CNN and you have Fox News. And that's the way it's gone. And people that's in the middle have no say whatsoever.
Mm.
And I would consider myself a person in the middle. I like to question things. I like to question, like, why we have NPHET, and nobody has changed the people in NPHET. Nobody. It's the same people every single day of the week. And let's face it, NPHET are running the country. If anyone tells me that the Minister of Health is running his department, it is just farcical.
No, but I suppose in one sense, you know, we're constantly for decades calling on people who are very qualified in certain roles to take us through difficult times, whether that be, you know, oh, for goodness sake, the finance minister hasn't anything to do with finance, he's a teacher, or vice versa. Now we suddenly have a case where we actually have people trying to guide us through an epidemic or a pandemic who are actually highly qualified in epidemiology and immunology and so on. And now we're giving out about it.
Yes, but there is other health professionals out there that disagree with people in Epic.
Sure.
We don't hear their voices. We're not allowed to hear their voices.
Well,
and it is that simple. I have never heard them, if it's not in your station or some local, I haven't heard them in RT. I haven't heard them in News Talk. I just haven't heard them.
Yeah.
And you take News Talk.
I don't know. I understand where you're coming from. Some of them know, for sure. But in relation to, even I saw, and if you want to talk about people who are anti-lockdown getting their airtime on mainstream media, I mean, it was Hennigan, who's from Oxford University. He's very high up there, very intelligent man. And he's very much against lockdown. In fact, he's very much against the way contact tracing is being, sorry, the resources of PCR testing are being used in contact tracing and so on. And he actually spoke in front of the COVID committee or whatever it is, isn't it? This is Hennigan from Oxford University. He spoke in front of that and so on. And that was, again, put back out on RT or whatever. So I wouldn't say it's complete lockdown. I wouldn't get too caught up in the fact that RT are somehow banning these people that are against what the NPHET are saying.
I don't agree with lockdown. And the reason why I don't agree with lockdown is as simple as this. Because in next year or the year after, we won't have it. We won't have an economy. If we don't have an economy, we don't have a health service. We're never hearing now about people dying of cancer, waiting for diagnosis of cancer and everything. Like, there's hundreds of people dying every day in this country of other diseases. And that would quadruple over the next few years, because they just won't be able to get the help.
Mm.
Every single penny is going to COVID. Every single penny. And what they need to stop doing, definitely, is releasing these figures every evening. That needs to stop now.
Well, I had that view not so long ago. And look, it's a difficult situation they're in. It's a difficult situation all of them are in. However, there is a lot of devastation going on with this. There's no doubt about it. And the trade-off has to be greatly considered. I would like, and when I say trade-off, I mean putting all this resource into one thing and then, you know, having a look at other very important things that probably we don't think of all that much. I had a conversation yesterday, actually. I'll just say this very quickly, Donald. I mentioned this yesterday of someone very close to me in hospital, as many people do, right? And that person that's very close to me is a stroke victim. Now, that person, I won't name him and I won't name the hospital or anything like that. I'm not trying to be covert about it, but just for family purposes. But that person is in a hospital now, right? In a stroke ward. And we've pretty much been told that the most vital thing in this stage of a stroke issue is stimulation and recognition, right? Yeah. Which is vital in the rehabilitation of someone who's had a very severe stroke. Now, at present, first of all, there were 15-minute visits allowed once a week with PPE on and all that, right? And I understand that. People in these wards are very, very vulnerable and they don't need something like COVID coming in. And now the hospital is in lockdown. Nobody can get in and visit. Yeah. And the nurses and doctors and so on are stressed about this situation. The family are obviously stressed about this situation. Now, can you tell me what the trade-off here is? What? That potentially someone could go into that hospital with COVID and visit and infect, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of this is that all of those stroke victims can potentially have very poor outcomes. And I'm not talking about fatality. I'm talking about quality of life,
you see, now,
complications.
This is the trade-off. All people at the moment are wondering, what's the point in living at all?
Yeah.
I'm a school bus driver. I'm driving the school buses there now for the last 3 weeks, okay? Now, I wear my mask. Students get on, they're wearing the mask. But they get off the bus. I see them. They're congregating. They're running. And now we have some secondary school teachers are talking about strike because they can't be guaranteed 100% safety in a job, which I think is another day's conversation. But I think they should hang their head in shame, really, because nobody can be guaranteed. Nobody can be guaranteed 100% safety.
No, 100%. But in relation to that, and if there's a health professional listening and you want to correct me, that it's completely impossible to have a stroke patient or someone else who needs that form of family stimulation or connection, that it's completely impossible for it to happen, please do tell me. But I just find it bizarre that we're how many months into this thing now? Pushing on 7.
You see,
but that nothing seems to have been put in place. We tore down marquees. We took it away from private hospitals. We did all these things. Is there no chance of some form of isolation room, ventilated room, something like this, to help these people who are stuck in hospital without visitations?
But this is where we're going, you see, because they'll get it. The health professionals and all the people that's giving advice are getting away with it because they're frightening people with all these numbers. Oh, God, look at you. How we have to do this or the numbers are going to keep going up.
Yeah.
And let's face it, a lot of these numbers are positive swab tests. That's exactly what they are. They'll never be as sick in the day and they won't even have a symptom, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And look at the meat factories. My God, what a debacle.
Yeah, this whole asymptomatic thing is going to roll on and on and on. I guess, you know, and I know the World Health Organization have pushed this from the very beginning. And at one point, one representative came out and said that it doesn't look like asymptomatic people are actually transmitting it. That was rolled back and they said that was a completely irresponsible thing. In fact, it can happen. And I guess the thinking on it is, Donald, that, okay, we're seeing a lot of people who are asymptomatic are getting no, you know, even a sniffle. But the fact of the matter is that it seems the case that if you have a party of 10 and 9 are asymptomatic, it could be the vulnerable 10th person who suffers the ultimate. Do you know what I mean? And I guess that's what they're thinking. But
they're saying a lot of people are getting this from households and things like that. And that could go back to households. Why in the hell does the government get a set and close the off licenses?
Why?
Because then that's the end of house parties. That is the end of them. If there's no off licenses, there's no house parties. They can't do that, but they have no problem shutting down pubs for 6 months.
Yeah, but you had a situation yesterday where we had in Oliver Bond, and I sympathise with a lot of the residents in Oliver Bond, and a lot of them are fantastic people, and they got a bad deal over it, but you had a group of people there, and granted, and people were coming up on this show yesterday, Donald, saying close the off-licence, get rid of the drink, but they found canisters of Bloom and whatever you call it, where they get high off, so I don't think it's going to stop it.
I understand that, and I'm not really saying close off licenses, but if they're going to close one thing,
I know what you mean. Sorry, you're being facetious. Yeah, I know what you mean.
They'll take the easy targets. They'll take the pubs. Like, how in the hell when they opened restaurants and they left pubs closed? That was a joke. Like that, the COVID. If you had a burger in your hand, then you couldn't get the COVID. You mean this was the joke, and it's still there. Like,
yeah.
It's still there. And the proof of the matter is when. Like, we're only getting one side of the story is the health minister has been invited to come on your show I don't know how many times, and he just will not come on. He just will not come on, because I know for a fact that you're not going to give him a list of questions that they're going to ask him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know how things work. I know yeah. Niall talks about this a lot, and he wants Stephen Donnelly on. I fully understand that. You know, and I get that, and he should come on. He should be accountable and come on and speak. Yeah. But what I would say is, and I'm not trying to make apologies for the man, but once someone becomes a minister, the game changes, because they have a wall of press officers and so on that dictate who comes on. So I would even imagine if Stephen Donnelly said, you know what, I really need to want to go on that show, they go, whoa.
No, you can't.
That's all I'd say on that.
But this is the problem, because people, like, if the government begin another lockdown now again, I don't think it's going to work, because people are just not going to wear it. And the reason people are not going to wear it is because they're sick to the teeth of the lies. There's no leadership, and there's no honesty. And until that comes, until we get our T-shirt out here and tell the absolute truth, and if the truth is bad, well, then tell it. Well, don't be patronising people no more.
Yeah,
this
okay.
patronising thing is all right. Public.
Donal, I have to take a break. Appreciate that. Thanks a million. I tell you, we've gone so far away from Van Morrison, but you know, that's just the nature of it at the moment. People have so many different opinions on the whole COVID thing. But let's get back to the topic, right? And it's kind of, I suppose, it's more a topic of cancel culture, because this has happened before, pre-COVID, you know, whether it be other artists that have done something controversial, and suddenly there's a wave of people, you know, wanting to either revoke freedom of cities or cancel their music on radio. We had a lot with Michael Jackson or whatever. Obviously, two different people with two different controversies. But do you believe that Belfast City Council, as is being suggested, should revoke Van Morrison's freedom of the city? And if you're just tuning in, it's because he's going to release these songs which have lyrics in them that say lockdown should be stopped, it's only, you know, enslavement of populations and lies and all the rest of it. And I'll read the lyrics out to you again in a couple of minutes' time. But based on that, based upon the fact that Van Morrison is going completely against what the public health advice is, and that's both here, but more concerning for him in the north of Ireland, obviously. And they want now to revoke his freedom of the city. Do you think they're right to do that, based on what he's saying in these songs? Or should he be right to do whatever he wants? Funny, I do find it funny sometimes when the various ministers say, you know, they read out the lyrics essentially and say, this is highly dangerous and people shouldn't be hearing that. And you're kind of thinking, well, that's all. You're just reading it out. Maybe if you stayed quiet in this stuff, no one would have given a damn about Van Morrison's songs, apart from diehard Van Morrison fans. Anyway, that's another debate. Right, 1850 410 494, text or WhatsApp 087 188 0008. James, you're live on Classic Hits. How are you, James?
Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon. Let me read you some of these lyrics again from Van Morrison.
I've heard them, Mike.
Yeah, so it's no more lockdown, no more government overreach, no more fascist bullies disturbing our peace, no more taking of our freedom and our God-given rights, pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave. Now, think of that in a sort of a twang of Van Morrison.
Yes, well,
and you've got it. Right, James, what do you think?
I'm only a few years younger than Van Morrison, and obviously I've admired him all my life. He's a brilliant musician.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised that would come out with this, because, of course, what he's doing, he's speaking up for his own industry, Mike.
Okay.
Of course, it's devastated, the music industry and the entertainment industry. I was only reading this morning about Christy Dignam and his band in Dublin, and he said the band, are, you know, that whatever savings the band had for a rainy day are all gone.
Yeah.
And he has road managers, he has people who want to set up his equipment, and they're all out of work. And they all have mortgages, and they all have kids.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The entertainment industry, the concert industry, all that sort of stuff has been decimated. And in fairness, they have a number of campaigns out at the moment to try and just make people aware and whatever. And I feel very sorry for them, because they probably don't get as much attention as you know, other industries do.
Thousands of people.
Yeah.
We have it here in Cork, many people who work in pubs and gigs, and they depend on it for their living, and, you know, it's horrendous.
Yeah, and people sort of forget as well how many people are involved in that. I mean, even just to put one gig on, you've got the artists, you've got the ticket sellers, you've got the PR people, you've got the
people with the equipment.
The equipment, the technical side of things. Yeah, it just rolls on and on and on, and these people are all out of work. Yeah, it's very tough. Yeah,
so
you're right.
That's what he's probably doing. He's speaking up for his own industry, and as you know, singers like Van and Christy Moore, they've always been doing this, writing protest songs since the beginning of, you know, beginning of music. Yeah, but musicians have always been singing and writing protest songs against governments, against government policy. So there's nothing new about this, Mike.
So something is different here, though, isn't it? Like, and you know, I'm not sort of trying to utilise the show for people to have a go at what NPHET or government are saying or whatever, but there's something different afoot at the moment where anybody who, and I don't necessarily agree with Van Morrison and his lyrics, so probably it seems like a bit of a daft song to me, but the fact that everyone's getting their hands, you know, completely chopped off if they even raise their heads to disagree is, to me, is most concerning with this.
Yeah, but particularly I'm an admirer of J.K. Rowling. She's also got herself in trouble recently, as you know, stating,
so,
of course...
So what is it then? Is it only
to
certain...
To be a woman, you have to be born a woman. Of course, she got a full...
Yeah, well, that's a different story. Yeah, but then...
attacking and all sorts of nasty R.I.P. letters and threats and... I admire these people who have the courage to stand up against, you know, the wave of political correctness and lefty liberal and cancel culture and Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, well, look, I would always champion debate. There's no doubt about it. Now, some people can take it too far and it ends up inciting things and all. It's a cautious sort of battle. But in relation to Van Morrison, yeah, I don't know. This is sort of...
And also, of course, you must remember, Mike, Van Morrison has what... Every artist has artistic license. They're always allowed to go even further than the normal people. You know, people like our own Tommy Tiernan, you know, he doesn't hold back. He's about as politically correct as an aisle. And he will, you know, insult everybody on the stage who, you know, you'll be the butt of every joke.
Yeah.
Whether you're gay, whether you're disabled, whether you're Muslim, or whether you're my church, the Catholic Church, everyone he'll ever go off. Because he has artistic license.
Okay, fair enough, right? Fair enough, right? And look, I tell you who else is in trouble on this is Noel Gallagher. He's never been one to hold back either from Oasis. He was on a podcast. I don't know whether you heard what he said.
No, I didn't.
But he was completely anti-mask, doesn't wear a mask, had been told to wear one before. He said, what are you going to do about it? He said, so the coronavirus only attacks you when you're when you're not eating your sandwich and all this kind of stuff. He went on and on and a whole holy rant.
Yes,
in fact, I don't know why he's not getting as much abuse as Van Morrison is, because he was even more extreme. But for a second, James, let's take a look at these lyrics that are apparently going to come out on Friday, right? Now, some of the stuff about, you know, no more lockdown or whatever. Grant, there's plenty of people saying, you know, maybe hard lockdowns aren't so good and so on. That's a debate being had. But let's go to this now. No more taking our freedom and our God-given rights, pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave. Now, is he heading down the conspiracy route there that has to be nipped in the bud if he's a public figure?
Well, I would say this, Mike, is this. I am one of those people now who would be considered vulnerable because I'm only a couple of years younger than Van Morrison.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't personally, am I speaking for myself now? I don't personally want the future of the younger generation, the future of the economy destroyed just to protect an old codger like me who's had a full long life,
mm-hmm.
who's at the end of his life. I've had my life. I don't want the future of the economy destroyed for 18-year-olds, mm-hmm. 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, people your age, people Helena's age, devastated, the future devastated, just to protect an old codger like me who's had his life.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone of my age, 65, 70, 75, have had their life. Their day is over. So... yes, have a certain amount of protection. I can protect myself. I do protect myself to a certain degree, but I'm not paranoid. I still go out to the pubs. But the idea that we must destroy everything just because an older generation have to protect it, who are going to die anyway, probably fairly sooner than later. That is my own personal view.
Sure,
people have a different view.
Yeah, but I'm fair play to you. But the thing is that people do have a different view. And you know what? It's not usually people. So Van Morrison, 75, you're a couple of years younger. We can sort of guess the age, right? But it's not... I don't believe it's a lot of people of your age per se. There are a lot of young people as well that, and I've had these debates before where you even enter into discussion about, you know, the different tactics being taken around the world and sure, look, well, let's just debate them. Let's just bash them out. It's just, you know, we're not making any policy here. Let's just talk about it. It's innocent. But if you venture, sorry, James.
Shut people down. That's censorship. And there's too much of that now, Mike.
I know, but what I'm saying is if you ever venture into even considering, well, you know, is another tactic maybe? Maybe it's the right way to go, where, you know, very, very vulnerable people are shielded and the rest of the community, you know, have the virus and move around and so on and so forth. I had a reaction before where I was told, are you happy enough to kill old people? And it's this kind of It's this very venomous sort of extreme side of it.
A lot of division, Mike, unfortunately.
So, unfortunately, there is a lot of division, yeah. But look, what can we do? There's no point in, you know, we're going to have to adhere to the guidelines and what's been said and hopefully trust in those who are in charge. And I know people will be scoffing at the radio there, but what else can we do, James?
Well, what I would, and Niall has been saying is, yes, you protect those who are vulnerable to the best of your ability, but you let the rest of the younger, the under-45s, there's 3 million under-45s in this country, Mike.
Okay,
and let them get on and work in the economy and go to the shops, go to the pubs, and protect those. As
fine,
as they, but not
fine.
Protect them to the point where you destroy the future.
James, I agree with you, right? And 3-4 months ago, I think that was sort of gaining momentum. Then, suddenly, long COVID, memory loss, hair loss, long-term problems with the lungs. All this sort of stuff now has been put forward and some evidence is showing up in various studies and so on. And now we're in a predicament where this damn thing will hit the vulnerable. And even if it hits someone asymptomatically, we're told, it could possibly have long-term effects. So now we're stuck in this moment. And I can sort of see, you know, I know people give out about the government and give out about NPHET, and it's all well and good if you're not actually implementing policy to have a great say on things. It's like a fan in a stadium. It's all well and good for you to shout what someone should do. You're not on the pitch. You know, so it's easy enough to shout what you think people should do. But if you're in a situation of power and responsibility and someone comes to you and says, you know, look, this is affecting, it's clearly affecting older people. Right, okay, well, let's just protect them and move on. Yeah, but one more thing, right? Young people who get it, they're being affected long term. Okay, well, let's just really reduce things because asymptomatically people are getting it and let's let them move around. Yeah, but even if you're asymptomatic, you could get long-term effects. So can you understand the predicament they're in with this?
Well, yes, I mean, you have to be fair all round, Mike. Micheál Martin, and I'm no great admirer of Micheál Martin, he can't come on and have the kind of opinion I've just expressed because we'd be saying, oh, my God, he doesn't care. So, yes, he's caught. He's caught between a rock and a hard place. And I suppose he's just trying to balance things out. I understand that the predicament they're in. But
yeah, I'm not trying to give them a free pass, by the way.
Of what the damage this is doing to the economy and the long-term damage. Well, even our own airport here now, Mike, which is hugely important to the city. And the viability is in question, Mike. And it would destroy the economy of the city if our airport was gone. Well, absolutely, we'd have no more investment. It is one of the major parts of our infrastructure here in the city.
Yeah, and probably won't be felt for quite some time. That's ultimately, let's not be too negative on it, but let's hope for positivity. James, I'm going to hold you there for a second because I have to take a break. 1850 410 494 is the number, 087-188-0008. It's so hard to get away from COVID talk, even if you talk about Van Morrison and music and cancel culture and all that sort of stuff. It all comes back to what policies are in play. And I know that's on all your minds at the moment because it's just engulfing all of us and it's very hard to avoid it. But let's get back to the topic as much as we can. Van Morrison is sort of releasing these protest songs against lockdown or whatever. Do you believe Belfast City Council are right, or some representatives of Belfast City Council are right, in wanting to revoke his freedom of the city? 087-188-0008 is the WhatsApp number. Anne, you're live in Classic Hits. Hi, Anne.
Hiya, Mike.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Go ahead. Van Morrison, what's the story?
Well, first and foremost, I think, like, he's entitled to his opinion, like everyone else.
Okay.
You know, free speech, you know, I'm all in favour of free speech. You know, even though I may disagree with somebody, they have the right to their opinion, you know. And I kind of agree with a lot of what James said earlier on. What Van, he thinks about people in the business, in the music business, have been hit hard very much by this.
Sure.
And also people in the acting businesses. I'm thinking especially of people even, say, I don't know, those at the Abbey actors, anybody.
Yeah, theatre actors,
yeah. Yeah, there's so many people affected by this. And I do think the government, they've got it all wrong in the sense that they're kind of going on like headless chickens, really. Mm. And at the beginning, I know it was all new to them.
Mm-hmm.
But now, they honestly, I just don't think they're going about it the right way at all. And I mean, the thing with the pubs, at the very beginning, when those pubs that serve food, when they were allowed to open, I think all the pubs should have been allowed to open at the same time, you know. And I think there again, because the economy will take, can't take another hit. Yeah. And then with Brexit coming down the line,
well,
we just cannot take.
I mean,
the economy is too important.
Look at the UK now, and the Boris is to announce tonight that their pubs are not to close fully, but to close early and stuff. So look, we're in for a rocky road of ups and downs and whatever. I suppose we are going to have to get used to it. I get what people are frustrated right now. There's no doubt about it. Hang on, Anne, including Van Morrison, obviously. Hang on, Anne. Maliki, I've only got about 3 or 4 minutes. So Maliki, make your point.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey.
This is just the latest attack and cancelling of somebody. I see Mark Lamert, I think is his name, from...
Yeah, the beast from the Chase.
Yeah, has been cancelled because he made similar comments. Now, I would have thought that through the centuries, one of the things that we had in this country was music, and it was always a form of protest. Isn't that what's supposed to have helped us survive through worse times?
Sure.
And now we're telling musicians what they can sing about. You know, there's something fundamentally wrong in this society that denies people so very clearly a right to free speech or to any speech which is outside of the liberal agenda or the state.
The only thing I will say is, Maliki, that you're right, and there seems to be a cancel culture, right? That's a mentality going on at the moment. But with regard to actually preventing him from releasing those songs, that's not happening. This is all just because people are a bit mad and it's the bloom. As someone said in a text earlier on, I don't think Van Morrison gives a damn about the freedom of the city in Belfast no more than his other, some of his other colleagues in the music business. So I don't think he cares. So it's not that we're actually preventing him from doing it.
Oh, but we are, because what will happen now is, for instance, he'll be blocked across the media. He'll be blocked, for instance, from being on the Late Late Show, done a tribute to him a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That will never happen again now.
No, probably not.
You know, and, you know, we're moving into very dangerous territory where anybody who makes any comments which the state doesn't agree with, because that's what we're talking about. And, you know, all of the stuff that has come out from NPHET, from any of the other agencies, from the government, they're opinions. And opinions are literally what they are, opinions. They're not facts.
Mm-hmm.
And people are entitled to disagree with those opinions. Marcus de Bruin's, for instance, opinion, to me, is just as valid and entitled to be discussed and debated as Philip Nolan.
I know, but aren't we in it? We're in a tricky situation at the moment because we're in an age of fake news. We're in an age of trying to, you know, counteract that. But what I'm saying is we're in an age of trying to streamline in some way information. And it's their belief that the likes of Van Morrison is throwing out dangerous sort of conspiracy-driven misinformation. That's ultimately what's happening.
Well, you see, I mean, you've encapsulated it in one sense. When you talk about fake news, it's who determines what is fake news.
Well, that's it. Who does?
If I have two doctors there, equally qualified,
I'm
entitled to take both of their opinions. And come to a conclusion.
I understand, and this is where this is gets so complex and divides people. I understand that because on one hand you have an immunologist or an epidemiologist or whatever working on behalf of Ireland, and then you have someone else who seems to be equally qualified saying something separate, something different, or opposing. So it's difficult. Maliki, if only a minute, I just want to put this to you.
In that comment, Mike, you're implying that the guy who's not being paid by the state is actually working against Ireland.
No, I'm not. No.
You are.
I'm not. I didn't say that. I'm saying that's the scenario we find ourselves in. I'm not saying one is right, one is wrong. My point to you is this.
Both sides.
Yeah, well, every side should be looked at, 100%. But I will put this to you. I have 50 seconds. I mentioned it earlier on to James. When you have a NPHET entity in the predicament they find themselves in, which is this, which is being told about the vulnerable, which is then being told about people who can have long-term lasting effects on this, and then are told even people who don't get a bloom and sniffle can have long-term effects on this and can pass it on. Can you see how they're in a situation where it's very difficult to say, well, do you know what? We actually, our hunch is that maybe it's not as bad as this, so we'll just move on. They can't do that because they're being fed this information all the time, and I can sort of understand that. Whereas your other scientist on the other side, he's no skin in the game. He doesn't care. He can say what he likes because he doesn't have to enact policy.
Well, of course, people do have skin in the game. We saw a pharmaceutical company or something sold yesterday for almost $400 million.
I understand, but you're jumping onto something different. I'm simply saying that one scientist in one place, they could be right. Maybe they are. But what I'm saying is they have, if they're not right, who cares? They go into oblivion. If Ronan Glynn is not right or wrong, whatever, there are implications for the rest of his life. So they're in those scenarios that it's easier for everyone to shout from the sidelines.
But the implications of decisions that they're making are now destroying families. The rate of suicide has gone through the roof. The amount of people who are in serious mortgage arrears.
We don't know if the rate of suicide has gone through the roof. We don't know that.
Well, we do know.
We don't know it. We can't know it.
Well, we know
it's an estimation. It's an estimation. I saw this debunked. It's an estimation of figures on a monthly basis for suicide. We don't know if they're skyrocketing. Because there's a lag. There's a lag in suicides being reported.
Of course, there is.
There
certainly is an increase.
That can't be known because there's a lag of reportage death certificates in relation to cause of death and so on, particularly related to suicide. So we can't know that. We can only estimate how many suicides there are. That sort of skyrocketing suicides opinion was debunked a little while back on the journal.ie, and they did heavy investigation into it. However, I must clarify, because a lot of people are saying I don't seem to care about mental health. I do. I think we're all suffering mental health issues at the moment. I include myself in that. I'm not saying I have any big deal that I need help with or whatever. I know people are in other awful situations, but we're all suffering a little bit on the mental health side of things. This is tough going without a shadow of a doubt, so I don't want to lessen that, okay? You mentioned people having skin in the game or whatever the case was. We were talking about Van Morrison, and I suppose people's rights or the right not to say certain things about this lockdown or these measures being taken. You think that it's gone too far? Cancel culture is in effect.
Well, I think, you see, it's not just in relation to the current COVID issue. I think we're seeing this right across society in general. If we go back to the whole LGBT thing, if we look at abortion, if we look at all of the issues that which are confronting society, you know, in the past number of years, there's a smaller and smaller level of people allowed to object.
Yeah.
And anybody who stands outside what I would call now the liberal box or the liberal agenda box is now demonised and cancelled, which is the new word for people.
I suppose at some point, though, Maliki, a decision has to be made on all these things, and we can all debate them until the cows come home, but ultimately democracy works in such a way, and I know you'll argue maybe democracy isn't currently happening, but that it works in a way that someone has to make a decision somewhere, whether it be about same-sex marriage, whether it be about whatever. It's either it goes to the people, it goes to the government will be elected, and then the decisions are made. Similarly to what's happening now, although, yes, of course, people are saying NPHET aren't elected representatives and so on, but they work in public health alongside the government, who are elected through various streams, but they are elected representatives and the decisions are being made. So at what point then do we stop the arguing and allow someone to make a decision on their best knowledge?
Well, you see, all of those things are grand if we actually had debate.
Mm.
And that's all I have said. And, I mean, one of the questions I've asked is, why in March, for instance, did the government tell us, don't wear a mask, there's no need, it's dangerous?
Mm.
And where is the evidence then, the medical evidence, to say that it's no longer dangerous? You know, something has happened in between.
See, from what I've seen, I had this chat with Niall before, and he said, well, there's so many, you know, studies that say masks are useless and whatever, and my argument was, yeah, but I guarantee you I could go online and find the same amount of studies that say they're not useless. And this goes round and round in circles.
But the government's position and NPHET's position was that they were dangerous. Now, presumably they're reading, by your analysis, the correct medical papers to come up with that conclusion.
Yeah.
And I simply want to know, what changed to change that advice? And I think that's a very valid question to ask.
I
want to know why, for instance, you can have a meal in a restaurant, but you can't have a pint. Why you have to leave by 10 or 11 o'clock or whatever time.
They have I suppose they've explained, and we can agree or disagree with them, they have, as best as they possibly can, explained the logic, they have the conclusion and as to why they've come to that conclusion as best they can. Doesn't mean we all have to agree with it, but in relation to the drink and the meals and all that, it's that you know your inhibitions are sort of lost when the drinks happen and the social distancing doesn't happen and all that. A lot of it's based on assumption.
We see the results of that is that there are now apparently more house parties. You know, the answer to that and the logic of what they're saying is that it's not the restaurants and the pubs that are the problem, but the actual alcohol.
Mm.
Now, if you're to follow their argument to its conclusion, shouldn't they be banning alcohol?
And let the pubs open. No, no, no. Jeepers, find it tough enough now to get through this without it. But no, I don't mean that. Drink responsibly.
You do, of course.
Drink responsibly, of course. Drink responsibly. But anyway, but I know what you mean. But yeah, maybe there's a point. Maybe the wet pub should have been allowed open, minus the alcohol. At least they could have some sort of trade. Well, I don't think that was ever brought up, actually.
It's either alcohol is the problem, which they seem to be saying that it is, and this seems to be the reason why you can only stay, for instance, for an hour and a half, why you have to leave by 11 o'clock on the basis that people get drunker after that, I presume is the logic. So, therefore, they seem to be saying that alcohol is the problem. I mean, this is another thing that the HSE has been trying to deal with for years and reduce the amount of alcohol that's consumed. And, you know, in a sense, they seem to be getting their way. You know, and all of the other problems that we seem to have had, apparently, are now apparently gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody mentions climate change now unless there's, you know...
And it seemed to be that ground was being made in relation to climate change, and people were going for disposable straws and compostable, so on and so on. And now it's like, yeah, well, that's true. I suppose it's happened by default, yeah. It's happened by default in some respect. Maliki, I'm going to move on anyway, right?
I
appreciate your call. Have a good Tuesday, right?
Take it easy.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.